The title of the message this morning is, How Much Is Your Soul Worth? You know, in that video clip, obviously they're talking about life on this earth. But when God talks about life, he's talking about all of our life. Not just the 7 or 8 decades or so we have on this planet, but even what comes afterwards. In Luke chapter 8, you know, last time we spoke about Jesus calming the storm. And after he'd calmed the storm, he and his disciples, they got into a boat and crossed over the other side of the lake, of the Sea of Galilee. And when they reached the other side, then they encountered a demon-possessed man. We're going to pick up in verse 26. It says, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? That would have been scary, right? Seeing a demon-possessed man, naked, coming out of the tombs, running and shouting at the top of his voice. If I was with the disciples, or if I was one of the disciples, I might have got back into the boat at that point and crossed back to the other side. But he says, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, What is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You know, this story appears in 3 of the 4 Gospels. We see it in Mark chapter 5. We see it in Matthew chapter 8. We see some of the other details added by some of the other Gospel accounts. You know, Matthew talks about the region of the Gadarenes instead of the Gerasenes. The east side of the Sea of Galilee, for the most part, that was Gentile territory. And in Mark chapter 5, he talks about the man went away and told in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. The Decapolis was a region of 10 main cities, and one of the major cities in that area was Gadara. And so it was sometimes known as the region of the Gadarenes. Gerasa was a town that was actually closer to the Sea of Galilee, and it was sometimes known as the region of the Gerasenes. We see in Mark chapter 5 that this man, not only was he living in the tombs, but the Bible says that he would often cut himself with stones. Matthew talks about 2 demon-possessed men. Oftentimes in Matthew's account, given his gospel was meant for the Jews, if there was more than one individual involved in the story, then Matthew would include that, because in the Jewish mindset, 2 or 3 witnesses confirmed an event or confirmed a fact. And sometimes we read, you know, Jesus healed the blind man. In Matthew, he talks about 2 blind men. Mark and Luke maybe only mentioned 1, because that was perhaps the main person they were focusing on. But either way, we learn lots of new things about this fella from these different accounts. And the one thing that stands out is Jesus took an interest in this person. The townspeople, they tried to shut him away. They tried to lock him up. They tried to chain him. And the Bible tells us that he was possessed by a demon, in fact, by many demons. And we see the outcome of that possession. We see that, you know, first of all, he was naked. We see that he wasn't able to live amongst normal society. That he had his uncontrollable behavior. The Bible tells us that no one could subdue him in Mark 5 and Matthew 8. And he was just out of control. And he had this supernatural strength. The fact that he could just break the chains that were holding him. My goodness, what a terrifying figure he would have made. And the Bible says he had been possessed for a long time. I can't imagine what he would have looked like. You know, even a short period of time, if you're living wild, you begin to look a little bit unkempt. Much like the room of a teenager. But you know, after a long period of time, his hair would have been uncut, his beard would have been unshaven. He would have been just this imposing, scary individual. And Jesus steps out of the boat and he sees him from a distance. And he runs towards him, screaming at the top of his voice. That's a scary thing. But Jesus doesn't turn away. He waits for him to come. And he asks him, "What is your name?" You know, the people of the town, the local town, the local village, they tried to isolate this fella. Jesus wanted to reach out to him. You know, in God's eyes, what is the worth of a single individual? Priceless. Priceless. God loves us. He cares for us. He made us. He's our creator. He cares for each and every one of us. I have a £10 note here. How many of you would like this £10 note? Wow, only a few of you. Okay. What about if I take a pen and I scribble on this £10 note? You still want it? What if I crumple it up? You still want it? You sure? What if I tear it in two? You still want it? Really? You know, the Bank of England would still accept this if you stick it back together again, so it's still worth £10. I'm not worried about tearing it in two because I borrowed it off Mike before the sermon began. He didn't know I was going to do that, but thank you, Mike. You know, the fact is, when we are damaged, even self-destructive, even when the world might shun us and isolate us, but in God's eyes, we have value. God loves us. God, like Monica, I'll still take it. I don't care if you trumpled it up or tear into it. I'll have it. That's the way God is with each and every one of us. But it's amazing how in the eyes of the world, in society, if you don't match up to a certain standard, if you perhaps don't get the right grades in your GCSEs or in your A-levels, if you perhaps fail your exams or you do poorly in the work assessment or the world can look at you and think less of you. But in God's eyes, you are just as valuable. There is nothing that we can do, no matter how damaged we may appear in the eyes of society. In God's eyes, we are loved. We have value. And God wants the best for each and every one of us. You know, I read about a young fellow by the name of Alexei Romanov. He's from Russia, and many of you would have heard of him, because at the age of he was abandoned by his family as a young child because he was born with no fingers and no toes on one foot, and he was raised in an orphanage. But eventually, at the age of 12, he was adopted. By Louise and Vladimir Levashkova, and at the age of 12, and he came to live with them. And whilst he was with them, and he's only been there for 3 years, he's only 15 now, but whilst he was with them, he took a great interest in music, and so they encouraged him to take music lessons, even though he has no fingers. And, you know, it's... Let me show you this video clip of this young man. Here he is. You'll see him actually. He started to learn the piano. He started off by teaching himself, and then eventually taking lessons, and he ended up doing a performance with accompanied by an orchestra in Russia. my daughter Hannah plays that piece. I think it's a piece entitled The River Flows in You. And she sits at the piano at home and she plays that, and I find it very moving. But to see this kid with no fingers playing this piano piece, I get quite emotional. And when I could think about what his life must have been like growing up in an orphanage with no fingers, but then for a couple to adopt him as their own and to give his life value and a future, that's what God does for each and every one of us. Jesus comes, he sees this person, he's an outcast, he's unwanted, and Jesus takes an interest in him and he asks him, "What is your name?" And then he drives out the demons. And you know, when the townsfolk come, are they happy? Are they rejoicing? Actually, the Bible tells us that they asked Jesus to leave the region. Why? Well, probably because the herd of pigs belonged to them. In Mark 5, we see it's a large herd. It's actually numbered around 2,000. That would have been worth a lot of money. Likely, in all likelihood, these were Gentiles, because Jews weren't allowed to associate with unclean animals. But nonetheless, they were more concerned about the damage Jesus was doing to their wealth, to their possessions and their welfare, than they were about the fact that here's this man who had been naked, out of control, and now he's dressed and seated and in his right mind. They completely glossed over that. You know, Jesus, he answers their request. He responds to the request to leave and gets back into the boat. And the demon-possessed man, he begs him, "Can I come with you?" But Jesus, he tells him to go and share what God has done for him in his life. You know, that's actually a really good definition of evangelism. In verse 39, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. You know, we don't need to be scholars. We don't need to be theologians in order to tell about the grace of God, to tell others about what God has done. All we need to do is share about where was our life before we found Christ. Where would our life be if Christ hadn't come and changed us? That's all it takes to share our faith. You know, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, why not? You know, we see a little bit of conflict going on in this man. Obviously, he was being controlled by the demons. But at the same time, he recognized who Jesus was, or maybe the demons are the ones who recognized who Jesus was, and they called him the Son of the Most High God. But on the one hand, he's running towards him, and he's fallen on his knees. On the other hand, he's begging him, "Don't torture me." But there's a conflict going on. And so often, before we are Christians, we also have this kind of a conflict going on. Just like this demon-possessed man, we also can have behavior that's out of control. We also can engage in acts that actually are self-harming and damaging to us. This man, it says here in verse 29, he had broken his chains. But the reality is he hadn't really broken his chains. He was still trapped, just in a different way. Only Jesus could set him free. It says here that he'd been driven by the demon into solitary places. Before we were Christians, didn't the majority of us experience loneliness, isolation, separation, distance between us and the people that we love and care for? You know, God is the one who removes those barriers. God is the one and the only one who can really genuinely set us free. And he wants to give us a life. He wants to give us a future. He wants us to be able to experience life to the full. You know, when the demons were cast out of this individual, they went into the pigs. What did they do? They rushed down the hill and they all drowned in the Sea of Galilee. That's exactly what Satan does in all of our lives. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Whereas Jesus has come that we might have life and life to the full. That's the contrast. If we are not Christians, why not? Perhaps we're like the crowd who comes out and we're more concerned about our material goods than we are about being right with God. these people, when they asked Jesus to leave, what they were doing was they were destroying their hopes of hearing the gospel. And they were actually damaging their chances of becoming Christians because they were more concerned about their property. That's a really sad and a warped perspective. And we can do exactly the same thing. We can miss the point of what's really important in this life. You know, as far as God's concerned, the pigs, their value compared to the soul of a man was inconsequential, meaningless, nothing. And that's true of all the possessions that we ourselves own. Everything that we have, everything that we've earned, everything that we've got saved up, none of that compares to the value of your soul or anyone else's soul. And so my question for us who are Christians today, how much are we prepared to pay in order to save the life of another? To what lengths would we go? Are we willing to face a little bit of rejection or embarrassment just to share our faith and tell of what the good news of what God has done for us? Are we willing to perhaps even spend money? You know, we saw the video on special contribution and giving to help further missions, both here in the UK and abroad. And it's great to see the Leicester Church and the 8 baptisms they've had since Roger and Jackie moved there to help lead that group. And that's encouraging. And a lot of that is due to the money that we ourselves have sacrificed. And that's encouraging. But are we willing to do more? Would we be willing even to go on a mission team ourselves to seek and save the lost? Would we be willing to give up some of our savings for one soul to be saved? Would we be willing to spend time with people who even scare us in hopes that they could respond to the gospel? You know, it is great to have Madeline Kaiser with us. She came around to our house yesterday and she got to meet our dog Bella. And this is Becca, those of you who you know. And, you know, it's great that she was in the East for all the time that she was here, and now she's gone back to the States and found herself a boyfriend and turned him into a fiancé. That's awesome. Well done. But, you know, it's interesting because she was saying how Sarah had told her all about our dog. And since we've got Bella, it's amazing how I've become so much more predisposed to the welfare of animals. Seriously, before I couldn't really care, but now that I have a dog, now I feel more for other people's pets as well. And this morning on Facebook, this is another dog called Bella, and this is Robin Heskett, her daughter Jackie. And when we went to visit Hannah, when Hannah was studying in Orange County in America a couple of years ago, the Heskets were the ones who really looked after Hannah in a great way. And so when we went to visit Hannah, we stayed in their house. And we met their dog, Bella. This is even before we had our own Bella. And at the time, I was staying in the house of Ken and Robin, I was cordial towards Bella. Because, you know, she belonged to the hosts I was staying with, so I was friendly. But, you know, this morning I heard that she died. And they posted this picture of her. And you know, now when I hear about, oh, that's so sad, now I feel a lot more. You know, I even posted my condolences on them, because I felt sorry for them. I think, how would I feel if our Bella died? Oh, that would be tragic. You know what? The people in this story, they were more concerned about their pigs than they were about this person. We can get so wrapped up, even with animal welfare, more than we do with people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't care for our pets or for our animals. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we've got to learn the value of a soul. We've got to know what's really important, what it's really worth. I want to close out by showing you just one last video. Thank you.
as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. Trouble in my dragon.
Not a Christian here today, I want to encourage you to find out what it takes to find a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian here today, I want to encourage you, just remember how much each soul is worth to God, and let's take steps to really reach out to those that God puts into our path. Amen.
Rather than comment, I just thought, let's have a prayer, because it's a very important lesson on that from the scriptures that we heard. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for Mike's lesson, y'all, just about the demon-possessed man, and just trying to bring that story to life for all of us. Certainly, I just love your son's response to him. And thank you for being reminded that every soul counts. Father, we do not know what people are going through in their lives, and yet, Father, we have something special through your Son. And Lord, there's so many people injured and hurting, and they're crying out for help. Father, I pray as a church, as individuals, we will take seriously the call to minister as your Son ministered. Father, to look out for those in need, God, and to reach out to those who are in distress. And Father, to provide a home for those who need shelter, and to feed those who need feeding, God, and just to demonstrate the incredible example of your Son, Jesus. Ultimately, God, calling them to follow you and to serve you and to spread the good news as how the story ended, and to share the gospel and tell what God has done for you. I pray that we will be a people who do this, God, not because we are told, but because that is a response from knowing you and from what the gospel teaches. Father, thank you for the lesson, God. Thank you so much. Father, help us to be a people who respond. And Father, demonstrate our love for you by loving those in distress. Amen. Thanks a lot, Mike. We're going to close with the final song, God of Battles. Let's all stand.